brilliant and beautiful little boy, treated him as a son, and made him take his own surname. Edgar Allan, as he was now styled after some elementary tuition in Richmond, was taken to England by his adopted parents, and in 1816 placed at the Manor House School, Stoke Newington. Under the Reverend Dr. Bransby, the future poet spent a lustrum of his life neither unprofitably nor, apparently, ungenially. Dr. Bransby, who is himself so quaintly portrayed in Poe's tale of William Wilson, described Edgar Allan, by which name only he knew the lad, as a quick and clever boy who would have been a very good boy had he not been spoilt by his parents, meaning, of course, the Allans. They allowed him an extravagant amount of pocket money, which enabled him to get into all manner of mischief. Still, I liked the boy, added the tutor. But, poor fellow, his parents spoiled him. Poe has described some aspects of his school days in his oft-cited story of William Wilson. Probably there is the usual amount of poetic exaggeration in these reminiscences, but they are almost the only record we have of that portion of his career, and therefore, apart from their literary merits, are on that account deeply interesting. The description of the sleepy old London suburb as it was in those days is remarkably accurate, but the revisions which the story of William Wilson went through before it reached its present perfect state caused many of the author's details to deviate wildly from their original correctness. His schoolhouse in the earliest draft was truthfully described as an old, irregular, and cottage-built dwelling, and so it remained until its destruction a few years ago. The soi-disant William Wilson, referring to those bygone happy days spent in the English Academy, says, "The teeming brain of childhood requires no external world of incident to occupy or amuse it. The morning's awakening, the nightly summons to bed, the connings, the recitations, the periodical half-holidays and perambulations, the playground with its broils, its pastimes, its intrigues, these, by a mental sorcery long forgotten, were made to involve a wildness of sensation, a world of rich incident, a universe of varied emotion, of excitement the most passionate and spirit-stirring. O le bon temps, que ce siècle de fer!" From this world of boyish imagination, Poe was called to his adopted parents' home in the United States. He returned to America in 1821 and was speedily placed in an academy in Richmond, Virginia, in which city the Allans continued to reside. Already well grounded in the elementary processes of education, not without reputation on account of his European residence, handsome, proud, and regarded as the heir of a wealthy man, Poe must have been looked up to with no little respect by his fellow pupils. He speedily made himself a prominent position in the school, not only by his classical attainments, but by his athletic feats, accomplishments calculated to render him a leader among lads. In the simple school athletics of those days when a gymnasium had not been heard of, he was facile princeps, is the reminiscence of his fellow pupil, Colonel T. L. Preston. Poe, he remembered as a swift runner, a wonderful leaper, and, what was more rare, a boxer with some slight training. He would allow the strongest boy in the school to strike him with full force in the chest. He taught me the secret, and I imitated him after my measure. It was to inflate the lungs to the uttermost, and to the moment of receiving the blow to exhale the air. It looked surprising, and was indeed a little rough, but with a good breastbone and some resolution, it was not difficult to stand it. For swimming he was noted, being in many of his athletic proclivities surprisingly like Byron in his youth. In one of his feats, Poe only came off second best. A challenge to a foot race, says Colonel Preston, had been passed between the two classical schools of the city. We selected Poe as our champion. The race came off one bright May morning at sunrise in the Capitol Square. Historical truth compels me to add that on this occasion our school was beaten, and we had to pay up our small bets. Poe ran well, but his competitor was a long-legged Indian-looking fellow, who would have outstripped Atalanta without the help of the golden apples. In our Latin exercises in school, continues the colonel, Poe was among the first, not first without dispute. We had competitors who fairly disputed the palm, especially one, Nat Howard, afterwards known as one of the ripest scholars in Virginia, and distinguished also as a profound lawyer. If Howard was less brilliant than Poe, he was far more studious, for even then the germs of waywardness were developing in the nascent poet, and even then no inconsiderable portion of his time was given to versifying. But, if I put Howard as a